ask you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with us to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Notice what the Word of the Lord says to us. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." As an evangelist, I have the privilege of going to many churches across our nation. I've seen all kinds of churches, all kinds of different sizes and shapes, all kinds of different colors and layouts. I've seen churches of all kinds of different denominations and the way that they build them and put them together. When I call home on these road trips, my dad will often ask me, "Son, what does the church look like?" He's always interested to know about the churches I'm in and what they look like and how they're laid out and what their color is and the sizes of them. And he's always asking, "Son, what does the church look like?" The question that I want you to consider today is this: what does the church that builds hedges look like? What are the characteristics of the church that pray for its spiritual leader? In Exodus 17, we see the traits that will manifest themselves in a church that builds hedges. In this Exodus 17, we'll see some characteristics that will be true of a church that prays for its spiritual leaders. The first characteristic, the first trait is this: it will be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. It will be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Our text tells us that the Amalekites attacked Israel at Rephidim. Now notice this, they attacked Israel. They were a fierce and hateful enemy of the people of God. They hated Israel. They were out for the destruction of Israel. Yet, they were able to withstand the attack of the enemy. You see, they were attacked by Amalek, but Israel was able to repel them, able to defeat them, able to overcome them. Now, why were they able to overcome them? It is because the leaders and the people were united, supporting one another. Moses took the lead. Aaron and Hur supported, and the people followed. In the text of Scripture, it tells us very clearly that Moses, he went up on this hill overlooking the battle, and he held up his hands with the rod of God, the symbol of the presence of God, the power of God. And up on that hill with uplifted hands, he prayed. And as long as he had his arms lifted up praying to God, Israel prevailed. But when he began to let his arms down, Amalek began to prevail. His arms got so heavy that Aaron and Hur put a rock under him, and he sat on that rock, and they held up his arms. They supported him. And because they supported him, and he prayed, and the people obeyed, they were able to overcome the attack of the enemy. They were able to deal with this attack that the enemy was coming against them with. You know, one of Satan's most effective strategies against churches is to divide and conquer. What Satan wants to do is he wants to divide us. He wants to see division. He wants to sow division in our midst. You see, he wants to divide the leaders from the people. He wants folks to be at odds with the pastor. He wants spiritual leaders to be at odds with the pastor. He wants the spiritual leaders to be at odds with the church members and vice versa. He wants there to be division. He wants there to be discord among the leaders and the people. Because when this happens, it gives him the opportunity to work and create havoc in a church. That's his great desire, because as we've already seen, the Bible tells us that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he would love nothing more than to devour a church, to divide it and to conquer it. To divide it and to destroy its witness, to hinder its effectiveness. He would love nothing more than to divide the pastor and the members. Members and members, leaders and members, vice versa. And when this happens, it can hinder a church. It can rob a church of its power and effectiveness. When this kind of atmosphere fear prevails in a church, it makes the church weak and vulnerable. When there's division among the leaders, among the people and the leaders, and there's no prayer or the leaders, no spiritual hedges being built, that church is virtually defenseless against the attacks of Satan. There's no defense. But you see, if the leaders and the people will join together in prayer, if they'll stand together and pray for another, if you'll support your leaders and pray for them, and leaders, if you'll support and pray for your people, then the church can stand strong against the attacks of the enemy. You can repel the attacks of the enemy. What is a church that builds hedges looks like? It's a church that overcomes the attacks of the enemy. It's a church that stands firm against the attacks of the enemy. A second characteristic of a church that builds hedges is that the leaders will be able to carry out God's will for the body. See, Moses was God's chosen leader. It was God's will for him to lead Israel. Even when they went out to battle, he was to be the leader. And as we see in the text of Scripture, that as long as his hands were held up, Israel prevailed. When his arms got weak, heavy, and went down, Amalek prevailed. See, Aaron and Hur came alongside Moses, and they supported him. They enabled him to hold his arms up. And what was Moses' role? He was to be the leader. He was the intercessor. He was the one that would cry out to God. And when they came alongside of him and supported him and prayed for him and with him, he was able to accomplish the will of God, which is win this battle over Amalek. He was able to fulfill God's will for God's people. And the same is true in the church today. As the people pray for their spiritual leaders, it enables them to effectively serve God and His body. As the people come alongside and support and encourage and pray with and pray for the leaders, it enables those leaders to do exactly what God's called them to do. As people pray for their spiritual leaders, it releases that protection of God, that power of God, that blessing of God. And without this, leaders cannot be effective. Moses could not have led them to victory had it not been for Aaron and Hur. Moses could not have led them to this victory over the enemy had it not been for Aaron and Hur coming alongside and supporting Moses and help lift up his arms. And the same is true today. If you don't come alongside your leaders and support them with fervent, faithful prayer, then they won't be effective and the church won't do the will of God. The success of your pastor, the effectiveness of your pastor depends on your prayers for him. If you'll come alongside your pastor and you'll encourage him and support him and pray for him, the will of God can be done. He can lead the church in the way that you want him to lead it, in the way that God wants him to lead it, in a way that will help you grow as a body. As you pray, God will enable your leader and leaders to be powerful and effective. But it all has to start with this willingness to come alongside, to support, to encourage with faithful, fervent prayer. If you'll stand with him and support him, if you'll stand with your leaders and support them, you can do the will of God. You can be effective in doing the ministry God's called you to. A third characteristic of a church that builds hedges is that God will help the church to stand strong in the battles that it faces. God will help the church to stand firm, stand strong when the battles come. As we see in verse 11, when his hands lowered, when his arms were too heavy, couldn't hold them up, and they began to go down, they began losing the battle. Yet when they supported Moses, when they held his arms up, Israel stood strong and was victorious. Without this, without Aaron and Hur coming alongside of him, they couldn't have stood strong. They couldn't have been victorious. There's no possible way. Verse 13 says, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. They stood strong. They were victorious. Why? Because Aaron and Hur came along and supported Moses and helped him. The church that is not praying for its leaders is not prepared for any battle. The church that is not praying for its leaders is weak and vulnerable. Your church can have all kinds of money. It can have all kinds of attendance. You can have the greatest programs in the world going on. But if you're not praying for your spiritual leaders, it leaves you virtually defenseless in the battles with the enemy. It leaves you powerless to face the adversity that every church is going to face at some point. It is only as we stand with one another that we can stand against anything. Israel was not a powerful army. They weren't a major force. But they supported their leader. And they had a God who blessed their support of their leader. If the church is going to stand strong and be victorious, this is absolutely essential. I can't stress this enough today. If the church is going to stand strong, if it's going to be strong in the battles that it has to face, if it's going to reach its community and be a salt and light, then there has to be fervent prayer for its leaders. Because when there is no prayer for the leaders, it leaves that church defenseless and powerless. There are no substitutes for this. This is that missing link in so many places, that we've got all these things going on and all these wonderful things, but there simply is not fervent prayer for spiritual leaders. And that's why we're defenseless and powerless and ineffective. The church that builds hedges, they stand strong in the battles that they face. A final characteristic of the church that builds hedges is that God will reveal Himself to that church in significant ways. In this text of Scripture, God reveals Himself to the people as the Lord my banner. Verse 15 says this, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. You see, in this time when they prayed for, stood with their leader, supported him, God revealed Himself to them in a significant way. God makes known to them, I am the God of victory. I am the Lord who leads you to victory. That's what that the Lord is my banner means. He's the one that leads us to victory. He's the one that gives us the victory. He's the one that enables us to overcome our enemies. He had never revealed Himself in this way before. This is part of that progressive revelation of God revealing more and more of who He is. And He does a wonderful thing in revealing Himself as the Lord who leads us to victory. But why? Why do the people have this? Why do they experience this? Why did they come to know the Lord is my victory? Because Moses and Aaron prayed. They had hands lifted to heaven. They supported Moses and prayed with him and for him, and Moses prayed. And when that happened, they experienced victory. And because of that, God revealed Himself as the Lord who gives victory. He made himself known in this situation where there was fervent prayer by the leader and for the leader. And oh, how true it is today. God will reveal himself powerfully in the church where the leader prays and the leader is prayed for. God will speak clearly to that church. God will guide that church. God will unleash his power in the midst of that church. Victory and revival are the inheritance of the church that prays for its spiritual leader, and its spiritual leaders prays for the church. I've alluded to this before, but I am convinced that one of the great hindrances to revival in our churches is a lack of prayer, particularly a lack of prayer for spiritual leaders. God is not going to give revival in churches where pastors are not prayed for, where they're mistreated, where they are terminated, where they are run off. He is not going to do that. It is only going to be when churches humble themselves and leaders humble themselves and leaders pray for the church and churches pray for leaders that we're going to see God reveal himself in significant ways, reveal himself in revival, reveal himself in transforming power of changing lives by saving, by healing, by putting marriages and families back together. I want you to understand the significance of praying for spiritual leaders. It's not just something that we all do on the side, but it ought to be crucial to the life of the church, because God reveals himself, God speaks, God moves in mighty ways when we pray for our leaders. Today, do you want to be a church that builds hedges? Do you want to be this kind of a church that has these characteristics? Then commit yourself today to becoming a church that builds hedges. Today, will you do that? I'm pleading with you. I'm calling upon you. Today, will you begin to pray, Lord, make this church into a church that builds hedges around its spiritual leaders. Transform this church into a church that prays fervently and faithfully for its spiritual leaders. Will you begin making that your prayer today? Leaders, will you renew your commitment, or perhaps make a commitment to pray for this body, to intercede? When the leaders pray and the people pray for the leaders, God moves in significant ways. Do you want to be that kind of a church today? It begins right now, at this moment, seeking Him. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would turn this church into a church that builds hedges. A church where the leaders pray for the people and the people pray for the leaders. In the name of Jesus, I pray that every church that listens to this, that they will become a church that builds hedges. And I ask that you would move in significant and mighty ways in their midst. O Lord God, remove every obstacle that keeps them from being this. Pave the way, make the way. Revive us again, O Lord, as we humble ourselves and as we pray for our spiritual leaders. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.